And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Bridget has the day off, a well-deserved day off. But we will have a special guest coming on. Gary Lezak, the founder of the LRC, will come on, and we'll be talking all about the LRC and what kind of the rest of the winter, how this is going to unfold over our area, and take a look into spring as well. So should be an interesting conversation with Gary, and we invite you to call in and with questions. If you have questions for Gary when he comes on, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. So looking forward to that this afternoon. But before we get to that, we finally have some winter weather on the way. Taking a look at radar right now, there is snow that is starting to develop now from about Jamestown down through about Lisbon, moving northeastward. This is going to continue to push towards the area as we head towards about 4 o'clock today, and your evening commute will start to get a little bit on the slippery side, but nothing like tomorrow morning, it appears right now. No advisories issued as of yet, but more than likely the Weather Service will more than likely issue some type of advisory due to the snow and blowing snow for tomorrow. We're looking at clouds thickening up for the rest of the afternoon. Snow should push in after or close to about the 4 o'clock hour, a little earlier down to our west and southwest. Highs today topping out in the upper teens with winds increasing a bit out of the south-southeast, about 10 to 20. Tonight, snow continues. It will be moderate at times. Should start to wind down as we head towards about 2, 3 in the morning. Winds will gradually turn to the northwest, increasing throughout the night at 15 to 25 as we drop down to a low of 5. Snow comes to an end, as I said, overnight. Total accumulation around the FM area, about 2 to 4 inches. Lesser amounts to our south, far southern valley. Probably about 1 to 2, maybe as much as 3 inches, and slightly higher amounts east of the valley into Minnesota and Lakes Country, where some areas could pick up 4 to 5 inches of snow. So not a lot of snow, but the problem comes tomorrow morning. Just plan on a very messy morning commute due to blowing and drifting snow and reduced visibility and slick roads, as winds will be increasing throughout the day tomorrow, 20 to 35 and gusty throughout the afternoon. So it won't just be your morning commute. Most of tomorrow we're going to have a problem with blowing snow around here. Highs only about 10 above. And then as we head into Friday, we'll quiet things down. Lighter winds with highs in the teens. We'll stay in the teens over the weekend with another snow system coming our way as we head into Saturday. That's going to be mainly an I-94 and south event, it looks like, with right now it looks like about 2 to 3 inches or 2 to 4 inches out of that system on Saturday, with slightly higher amounts if you're going down towards the cities this weekend. The good news about that weekend system, we're looking at lighter winds, so shouldn't see a problem with a lot of blowing and drifting with that system over the weekend. So no big storm, but a couple of storm systems coming in combination here are going to give us a new fresh snowpack. Good news for all the snowmobilers or any outdoor enthusiasts, winter enthusiasts. You finally get to enjoy some of what winter has not brought us so far. We've only had about, I believe it's 15, 16 inches of snow through this whole winter season. And we're getting indications that before this month is done, we could come close to that total that we've had up to now. A lot of it's going to depend on a couple of things. The track of some of these storms. We are in the stormy part of the LRC cycle right now, which goes through about the third week of the month. And if you take a look at our LRC calendar online, you'll see that I believe it was the 18th through the 21st. I've got that highlighted as one of the bigger storms. If you remember back in November, when that storm came through, we had over an inch and a half of rain, and then we had a few inches of snow after that. So the moisture availability with that system is going to be plentiful, it looks like, this time around. The question is, does that system stay to our south, or does that impact us later this month? So that's going to be a close call, it looks like, but something that we'll have to watch. And again, we'll talk with Gary about that coming up here shortly. So if you're not familiar with what the LRC is, we've been working with Gary here over the last few years, and what the LRC is, and Gary will explain more to you, but it's a cycling of the weather pattern that occurs all year round. The pattern sets up in early October. And once the pattern gets set, the number of days in the cycle, that same pattern keeps cycling through all the way through the following fall. So this can predict major events such as hurricanes, droughts, major winter storms, severe weather setups. So it's really something that's starting to gain some traction here throughout the northern and central plains. And Gary will tell you that you know, this has been in the works since the 80s with Gary, and he's done just a fantastic job getting the word spread out. So, again, when Gary comes on here, we will be entertaining any questions that you have, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. I know I got an email yesterday from one of our listeners, and he said he was asking, what's with these storms, this one and the one on Saturday? You didn't have that on the LRC cycle. And there's a couple of reasons. One was, again, the LRC is a centerpiece of the atmospheric puzzle. And we weren't expecting the Arctic Oscillation to be going in the negative zone. And so this is kind of it's basically brought some of these storms a little further north. As the Arctic Oscillation is going to go negative later this month, then that will drive the storm track, it looks like, a little further south, and then we'll start to kind of mellow things out up here. So, again, a lot to that, but that's a quick answer to your question. Dan sent that in the other day. So, and again, you can follow our LRC online at WDAYRadioNow.com and click on that weather link, and we've got the LRC calendar out through March, and we will be updating that and actually going out into early summer here, working on that. Should have that done within the next couple of weeks. So, Addison, do we have Gary on yet? You want to bring him in before commercial here real quick? Yeah, let's bring him in. Let's bring him in as long as we got him. Gary, welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus.
Hey, Dean, how are you doing? It's great to be here today and glad to have our discussion on this 8-degree day in Fargo.
Ooh, yeah, it's we haven't had a lot of snow. I think, Gary, we've had between 15 and 17 inches of snow all season. I mean, it has been basically a snow drought up here. It's a good thing we got that November storm, which brought the moisture. At least we're not starving on moisture, but boy, we could use some snow. And it's as we've been touting here over the last couple of weeks, that February was going to be at least the first half of the month, probably into that third week, was going to be the stormy part of the LRC cycle. And sure enough, that's kind of what's been panning out.
Yeah, you got a little snow today, 1 to 2, 3 inches maybe, and there's two or other small ones showing up in the next few days. And then, you know, we'll talk about it, but, you know, La Nina, which is the cooling of the tropical Pacific Ocean, it is having an influence on the weather pattern, and it's just one of those factors, but it's going to loosen its grip on us. It's got a grip on the weather pattern right now, and it affects North Dakota and the Corn Belt. But once it loosens its grip, as soon as we go towards March into early April, I'm expecting one of these storms to be a big one for your location. Just one, maybe two.
Maybe.
That'll add to your snowfall totals. But that should happen here a few more weeks. But right now, it still has a grip on the weather pattern.
Yeah, and it was funny because on Jay's show yesterday, I asked Jay if he wanted to amend his snowfall total for the rest of the season. We've got a nice little friendly bet. I said, I'm telling you, March and April, that we're not going to be
so. What did he forecast again?
You know, I'll have to ask him. I thought it was, Addison, do you remember? Was it like, was it even 30 inches?
I think it was in the 20s.
I think it was. Yeah, it might have been between 25 and 30. So I told him he might want to amend that, but he said, no, he's sticking to it. So.
Well, I went way high, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But all right, we're coming up on break now. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, pay some bills, and when we come back, we'll have Gary Lezak. We'll be talking about the LRC, what the rest of this winter and even a peek into spring looks like. And again, if you have any questions for Gary or myself, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:20 in the afternoon. Bridget's got the day off, and we've got Gary Lezak with us. He's the founder of the LRC. We've been using the LRC up here in the FM area, Gary, for the last 4.5 years, and it's gaining a lot of traction up here, and a lot of people really like it. And, I mean, you know, when I was first introduced to the LRC with you years ago, you know, I was skeptical, and I thought, you know, this isn't something that we learned in college. So how can this be possible? And, you know, after sitting down with you, Gary, and you explaining and showing us how it works, and now we're, you know, LRC certified, it is an amazing tool to have when forecasting the weather. Explain to people that don't know exactly what the LRC is. How does it work?
You know, Dean, it's amazing. Thank you for the introduction. And it's beyond complex. And when, as you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen week to week, day by day, we have a blueprint. Basically, the LRC provides a blueprint of what's going to happen with the weather. But that blueprint, it's like, if you're not an architect and you see a blueprint for a huge building.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, I just think of this out loud for the first time. I'm like, You look at that blueprint, and it's like, what is that? How are you going to build that building out of that? It is really, really complex. So it's not going to be 100% accurate when we try to make decisions based on this blueprint. However, the weather pattern is cycling, the river of air. There is a river of air above us, about 10,000 feet to really just above our heads. But as soon as you get above the mountains, 15,000 feet up to 30,000 feet or so, that river of air is huge and cycling across the northern hemisphere. And then there's another one in the southern hemisphere. And due to the Coriolis effect, the things spin the other way in the southern hemisphere. That's a whole other topic. But this river of air is cycling regularly. And so we have been able to figure out what that cycle length is, and this year's closer to 6 weeks long, and finding that cycle is important and imperative for us to make forecasts. So it allows us to predict when and where there will be winter storms, like the one you're experiencing today, when and where there will be tropical storms, severe weather outbreaks, droughts, floods, etc. And a little bit of the what. The LRC tells us a little bit of the what. It tells us there's going to be a winter storm around Valentine's Day developing. The models, the other models that are used, aren't doing very well. We can tell when those other models are right and when they're wrong. Just now in the European model, for example, a major storm started to show up around Valentine's weekend. So next weekend, over a week from now. And we'll see how that comes together. So the LRC tells us that storm will likely be there, almost 100% certain, okay? But forecasting the weather for Fargo, Bismarck, Minneapolis, Pierre, South Dakota, down into Wisconsin, and down to where I'm in Colorado, or any location, the forecast for each location is going to be difficult. How accurate will it be? The river of air cycling is close to 100% accurate, but our predictions may be more 60, 70, 80% accurate. Predicting these hurricanes, for example, we were 5 for 5 this year on predicting the ones that hit the United States. 5 for 5. You know, it didn't tell us exactly how strong they would be, but that's what it does. That's what we're doing. And for, as you said, 4.5 years, the last four growing seasons for agriculture and farmers out there, we have gotten that forecast right for North Dakota, and we're going to try to make it 5 years in a row. And so we got our forecast out there for this year, and yesterday in that report, Dean, that we do, if you want to follow this, the latest report I just did, it's at weather2020.substack.com. It just costs $300 a year, but you can join. And you will see in this latest report that I just posted yesterday, it took me a few hours to write it, many examples of showcasing that the weather pattern is cycling regularly. And I put in there the last freeze date. We have a forecast for the last freeze now.
That was interesting.
North Dakota.
That's kind of late, a little bit late, but Not unheard of. Not unheard of.
Well, I think it had an April 20th time frame, which isn't late. But as you saw in there, there are a couple mid-May dates where it gets close to freezing.
Right. Yeah. So, Gary, so the LRC, I've had a couple of emails from our listeners asking, okay, explain a little more about the LRC in terms of when it starts and why it starts at that time period. And each year is different. So we have a cycle length that is different each year. Could explain that a little bit.
Yeah, this week it's closer to 41, 42 days. And I used to say, I'd have to kill you if you tell anybody about this. But there's a lot more to it than just knowing the cycle. Last year was 45 to 46 days. The year before that was 50 to 51. The year before that was around 63 to 64-day cycle. Mm-hmm. And the river there up there, it's like a river. If you watch the river, it sort of has these little logs and little big rocks that get in the way, these little blocks. But the river continues to flow regularly. And it cycles this year between 38 days low to 44 or 45 days high, centered on that 6 weeks. So every year the cycle is different. But next year could also be a 41, 42-day cycle like this year. But that doesn't mean the pattern's the same. The pattern could be completely different. So the cycle is one part of it. The weather pattern is another. And then there are these other influences like El Nino and La Nina and the Arctic Oscillation, North Atlantic Oscillation. It's a big jigsaw puzzle. The LRC is a centerpiece. And what happens, we believe there's an astronomical cause to this. So why wouldn't it be? In astronomy, the cycles are so regular. Like, astronomers are the best predictors in the world. If you know an astronomer, they know exactly when there's going to be a solar eclipse down to the second, 50 years from now, and they'll be right. And so we have the lunar cycles. The moon is cycling regularly. The Earth is cycling around the sun once every 365 days. And the Earth spins on its axis once every 24 hours. So these cycles exist. And the sun sets at the North Pole around, the first day of fall. Right on the first day of fall every year, September 22nd, 23rd, the sun sets at the North Pole. And then it's twilight. Here it'll be twilight for an hour tonight, and then it'll go dark. At the North Pole, it's twilight for about 10 to 12 days. 10 to 12 days. And then it goes darker on October 5th, 6th, or 7th. And that's when we identify the first day of every year's pattern, right around October 5th, 6th. I was looking at it today. It's fascinating. So October 6th is day one. Next October 6th will be day one of the new pattern. And so that's a little bit of the history of it.
Yeah, and like Gary was saying, astronomy is in cycles. Everything is in cycles. Why can't weather be in cycles? And Gary, you've written papers on this, but you found this or stumbled across this, if you will, back in the 80s. How exactly? When did the light bulb go off that said, hey, you know what? Wait, there's something going on here.
It was my second year in my career. I had a 38-year distinguished television career. And in my second year, 1987, 1988, I've got a mural on my wall right here. I'm looking at it. And we had in Oklahoma City, a place that averages 8 inches of snow per year. They had a 1-foot snowstorm around December, early December of that winter. A few weeks later, they had another 1-foot snowstorm. What? A place that averages 8 inches of snow a year had 2 1-foot snowstorms, and not just that, they had other winter storms that season, including a major ice storm around Christmas. So I noticed the weather pattern that created the first snowstorm. I was obsessed with the River of Air above us then, the 500 millibar flow, which is 500 millibars just happens to be halfway through the atmosphere in weight. That's about 18,000 feet above us. And I looked at that meteorological map that we often look at, the 500 millibar chart, and you can see the river of air, the flow on that chart. And it created a storm system like what you're showing here, that low that's in New Mexico. It created a storm like that. And then when the second 1-foot snowstorm happened, I've noticed the pattern looked almost identical, very close. And so I realized then that it probably wasn't a coincidence. And in the next 5 years, I started developing my hypothesis. 10 years later, 2002, 15 years later than 1987. In 2002, the bloggers and my popular blog named it the LRC. So that's when the aha moment happened back in 1987, 1988. And even today, in that article that I put on my Substack there, in yesterday's report, in that article, I posted a link to the paper. And Dean, click on the link so you can read the Cycling Patterns of the Northern Hemisphere, A New Hypothesis is what it's called. This is my paper published 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a map-to-map comparison that shows this upper low off of Baja and 58, 59 days, 57 days, I think it was, later, like 114 days later, there's another one right off of Baja, California. It's very similar to what just happened in Arizona this year. And I'm like, while I was writing this, I'm like, wait a second. That looks just like what I wrote 7 years ago from that pattern from 2016, 2017. So I posted that comparison. It's just, did you look at that? That's amazing.
I did. I'm trying to pull this up now. Addison, I just sent it in Slack if you want to put that on our live stream.
Put that on there. I want to see it myself.
Okay, he's going to need a minute to pull that up. But okay, yeah, it's spot on. And
when I write about this stuff, it's like, remember, when you've discovered something, and let's just assume that I have discovered this, and I know you believe it. There's the map. You see, there's one comparison of a storm from November 7th of this past fall and what just happened on January 30th.
And that's the river. Then, that's the river of air above us that you were explaining right before.
Now, if you can pan up, go down a little. Go down a couple maps. I think I posted this in that report, but if not, don't worry about it.
Right, we'll get that we'll get that for next break. Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, even when I'm writing it myself, you know, I'm learning all the time. We're learning. The meteorologists around the world don't understand what this is, and they like to read. And they want to read papers. There is one paper published. I wrote one. There needs to be another 100 or so, then they'll start believing it. So as a result, because it isn't very well known, all of you listening right now are in on a secret. The pattern is cycling. It's right on schedule. The map, if you can see this on your screen, that storm that's January 30th, we predicted it would look like that around January 30th. And it did.
Yeah.
But a month before, 2 months before.
And using that cycling method, that storm that hit us in November, we know that's going to be cycling back around later this month and then about 42 days after that, which would put us in end of March into early April. So, yeah, it's an amazing tool, no doubt about it. Well, Gary, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. Again, if you have any questions for Gary about the LRC or questions for myself, shoot us a call, 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather Nag and Focus. Want to thank everybody for joining us. 1:37 in the afternoon, and we've got a special guest today, Gary Lezak, founder of the LRC, Lezak Recurring Cycle. That's what we use to forecast the weather up here in the Northern Plains. And Gary, it's really caught on quite a bit, especially in our ag community. A lot of our ag community is using the LRC now with great success. And it's really catching on with the public, too. And we've got Paul on line one. And Paul's got a question. I don't know if it's for me or you. Paul, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't matter. I was just wondering, you know, you drive from Fargo north and Grand Forks north, you know, you get closer to Pembina. There's a lot of, you know, there's no snow on the fields around here. You know, it's been blowing dirt all winter.
It has. Yeah. And that's a big that's a big concern for our ag community. And Gary, I mean, I think there's good news coming up with these next couple of systems, although it is going to leave the far northern part of the valley up around the Canadian border kind of out of a lot of the snow. But as you said, you think there's hope in March and April as that storm track lifts north?
It's been absolutely fascinating. Yeah, Paul, do you have a specific question? But before you ask, let me just say that it's fascinating how, yeah, you're noticing there hasn't been much snow, and there hasn't been much snow. Omaha, Nebraska, has had 1 inch of snow this winter, whereas New Orleans, Louisiana, has had 8 inches of snow this winter. That is ridiculous. I mean, so if you are getting missed, the probability of you continuing to get missed is fairly high. So, but as we go towards spring, this La Nina grip's going to loosen on us, and there's a chance of one really good snowstorm that could hit most of North Dakota. So I'm expecting that, and I'll go pick out exactly when we're predicting it, but there's a couple of options for those. So, Paul, do you have a specific question?
Well, no, I was just wondering if it's going to start to – we had one good snow here probably a month ago, you know, at 6 inches, you know, Grand Forks and that. But then, you know, everything's melted, you know. You know, you get this cold, then it gets 30, 40 above, and it melts everything, you know. So there's no snow, you know, in the fields and that. Shelter belts there are, but that's it. So
right.
I was just wondering if we're going to get any snow tomorrow or tonight and next few weeks or month or otherwise that frost is really going down. So
yeah, Dean, this storm's going across southern areas, right near the South Dakota border.
You know, yeah, I think the Northern Valley up where Paul is. Paul, thanks for calling in. In regards to what Paul was saying, that the Northern Valley will get some. They'll get a couple inches, one or two out of this, I think, north of Grand Forks. And I think the higher amounts are going to be off into areas of Minnesota. But at least, Paul, you should see some snow out of this, an inch or two. And then the next system coming in Saturday, that one is generally south of your area. So and then it looks pretty dry up until possibly another system later next week, but that looks weak as well. And then we'll be waiting on that storm system towards the third week of the month. Now, the question is, if we're in a firm grip of a negative Arctic oscillation, that storm system that hit us in November, which is set to cycle back this month, that may go south. Am I correct, Gary, as long as that Arctic oscillation is in the negative territory?
Yeah, the AO is forecasted to go negative, but not as much as it was forecasted even yesterday, down to -2. And that means it's not going to have as big of an impact. But the NAO, which is very directly related, really, to the AO, it is staying near zero or a positive. So it's not a really strong indicator. The real big, the one Arctic blast that's Sunny the weather dog. Sunny.
Is that Stormy or Sunny? Is that Sunny?
Sunny the weather dog. She's an Australian Shepherd mix. She likes to speak. She will turn 10 years old in March. So that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the whole point is, it dipped to -4 in early January. It doesn't look like it's going to dip that low this time, so it might not have as big of an impact.
So, Gary, let's dive into kind of what we're looking at for the rest of the winter and even into spring. I know on your last Substack or your last video that you put out, you kind of highlighted parts of the Northern Plains and what we're looking at to expect here over the next couple of months and even into spring. One of the things you highlighted was the Corn Belt forecast all the way through this upcoming spring and into summer. Now, again, a lot in our ag community, they're a little, again, like Paul said earlier, they're a little, you know, hey, when we get these systems coming through and there's with a lot of wind and there's no snow on the ground, we're getting a lot of topsoil being blown away and a lot in our ag community are worried about drought conditions coming into this spring and summer. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we do know there's some D1 to D2 drought across parts of North Dakota, especially northwest North Dakota. So there's some concerns there. Droughts are usually shrinking or they're expanding. This one is we're going to know in a few weeks whether it's shrinking or expanding. Right now it's sort of shrinking slowly, which is a good sign. But if we go week by week in the Corn Belt, which includes, you know, the parts of North Dakota, you know, it's the dry weeks are towards the end of March into early April. That might be a little early for planting, but something to consider. Then there's a 3 wet weeks from mid-April to April 27th. I'm looking at that report I posted yesterday. Right.
And we just pulled that up here. Yep.
Yeah, then there's some dry weeks again, May 4th, May 11th, May 18th, and then a somewhat wetter period. For North Dakota, I'd have to go look and see what the dashboard shows. But then I did a last freeze analysis, and we have hard freezes from around the 20th of March all the way to about the 10th of April, and then another one around mid-April, a hard freeze mm-hmm. where it goes down into the low 20s, upper teens. And then the last freeze, it could be around the 20th of April. However, the mid-May period around – oh, right around May 15th to 20th, there's another stretch there where some frosts are possible across North Dakota, and there's like 5 or 6 days in a row with just above freezing. So something to monitor as this pattern cycles back through.
Right. Well, at least that's some promising news, it looks like, for most of the northern and central plains. I know, like you said, the central plains, specifically Omaha and Lincoln areas, those areas have been under, just incredible dry conditions when it comes to snow. It's unprecedented. They've never had it this snow-free. And it is odd that New Orleans would be snowier than parts of the Central Plains. Just absolutely incredible.
But it's also a sign. It's a sign of the LRC. It's what is happening is likely going to continue to happen. But there will be seasonal differences, and with La Nina weakening. And I'm looking at North Dakota on that forecast. I look at last week's report from mid February to mid September. Yes, we have a product right now, mid February to mid-September, and in North Dakota, it shows 70% to 90% of average precipitation in southwestern North Dakota. The northern tier counties are near to above average, actually. So there's some hope that it's going to get a little bit wetter in the drier areas as we move into spring.
Right. Still some dry pockets in areas of Minnesota, northwestern Iowa and northwestern Nebraska, looking at that map in northern Illinois as well. So,
right.
Just an amazing tool. And the accuracy rate on the LRC is quite high. There's nothing else out there that can forecast with as good of accuracy as the LRC long term. There just isn't.
Especially when you look at it week by week. If you go down to an individual day, it may be off by 2 days.
Sure.
So it will look inaccurate, but it'll pick out the storm, and just sometimes they're off by 2 or 3 days. But over a week-by-week analysis, you can see which weeks are most likely going to be wet and which weeks are most likely going to be dry.
Right. And Gary, the LRC has caught some traction in regards to our agriculture community up here in the Northern Plains. Explain to if we've got some in our ag community, farmers, ranchers, how can this benefit them?
I mean, it can benefit you just by knowing what's going to happen. As I said, you get the blueprint of what's going to happen with our dashboard that is available if you can afford the $1,500 for the whole United States or $1,200 just for North Dakota. You'll be able to analyze down to your county, pretty much your farm, to figure out exactly what's going to happen day by day, week by week, and month by month. We have all these maps that are available for you to do your own analysis on how much rain is going to fall, you know, month by month, and whether that's above or a little bit below average. So you can help plan for that, and then you can decide when's the optimal time to plant. Last year, you had a couple of farmers that planted early because we showed it getting wet, and they ended up having a real bumper crop. So it can help out in many different ways.
Excellent. And what kind of feedback have you had from the ag community? I know I've gotten quite a bit of positive feedback up here. Just for anybody in our ag community, it's what kind of feedback have they told you outside? I mean, you used a great example just now where we had a couple of farmers up here that used the LRC. They knew when the wet cycle was coming. They planted right before that, while others in the ag community waited too long and didn't have as good of a crop. A lot of positive feedback with the LRC, and if there's been any negative feedback, what has that been about?
Yeah, the only time you get negative feedback is when you're real specific about what's going to happen. For example, we just got somebody, we have a global predictor. The global predictor is a real inexpensive product you can have, but somebody sent me a screenshot from North Dakota showing that it predicted that it would turn real cold in February, you know, single digits and teens, but in about a week from now, not right now. So they were like, how can you be so far off? We were off for this week, so that's when we get negatives, but it's right. It just happened to be 1 week off. It predicted the cold spell.
Right.
But overall, I was just at FarmCon down in Kansas City, saw a few people from North Dakota there, and they're all just amazed by what this tool is and the cycling pattern as they learn more about it, and they understand that it is more accurate than any other system that's out there. It's not perfect, mm-hmm. but I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. And you've been speaking, you've been going out to speak as well. You've gotten some good feedback.
You've gotten a lot of positive feedback. I was at a talk last week. I've got another talk this Friday out in Barnesville with about 50 people, 50 to 100 from our ag community. I'll be giving a talk out in Barnesville, and we'll be going over the LRC and what it looks like for this upcoming spring and summer. And from the people that I've talked to at these events, their question was, why haven't we heard about this before? Well, and I said, well, it's not mainstream yet, but it's getting there. And once word spreads around, and I know that's what you want, Gary, you want the word to spread around that, hey, this works. And eventually, if we can get this taught in universities, so every meteorologist knows how to use it, that's the key. You know, the key is to get the best information out there. And this is what I've been doing. I've been forecasting for 25 years plus, and this by far is the most accurate tool that we have right now.
Right. If a snowstorm shows up 10 days from now, you can go look at the LRC to see if it fits the pattern that we've already had. If it doesn't fit, then we can tell you then that's not going to happen. If a hurricane shows up and it says it's going to hit Louisiana in 2 weeks on some of the models and people post it on social media, I can go in there and say that is wrong with high confidence, and then it will be. Or let's say the model shows no hurricane, and I can say there's going to be one in about 2 weeks right here. And then about 10 days later, those other models catch on. It's absolutely fascinating what it can do to help. But yeah, it'll be taught in universities one day. I just hope while I'm alive.
You know? Right. Me too. So Gary, if anybody's interested in learning more about the LRC, anybody from our ag community saying, hey, you know what? I could really, it's a tax write-off too, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any in our ag community that want to sign up for the LRC products, what's the easiest way to do it?
The ones that you really get in touch and learn about the LRC, spend about a year on it, and you'll believe it after you work on it for a year. But that's that weather2020.substack.com, and we were just looking at it, what I wrote the last couple of weeks. Every week that's updated, and it'll take you through the season and provide insights for the growing, for the planting and the harvest season ahead. A much less expensive product is just $5.99 a month, and that's the Global Predictor. Just search for Global Predictor in your app store, and you can download that for $5.99 a month or $49.99 a year. And that will allow you to go anywhere in the world. If you're going to Cancun on vacation, if you're going to Hawaii, or you just want to know somebody's getting married in Chicago or Minneapolis or in Bismarck, you can click on there and get a forecast for the next 6 months. So that's the Global Predictor. So those are the ways you can stay in touch.
Right.
And that always supports us here at Weather 2020.
Great. Well, Gary, before we let you go, we've got a big, big, big happening this weekend on Sunday.
I know.
All right. Yeah. I know your answer, but what's your prediction on the game?
I know. I just posted on TikTok Rainbow and Sunny getting their brand new Chiefs collars. I'm a Chiefs fan. I came to Kansas City in 1992. And let me just tell you, I went through the pain and suffering, and now this is crazy what's going on. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I want them to win by more than 1 point, but I'm predicting a 30-29 Chiefs victory. I know, it's going to be scary. The Chiefs have won 17 one-score games in a row. And that's crazy. There's conspiracy theories about referees helping them out. And it's just people complaining. But let me just tell you, I think they're going to win. But my gosh, the Eagles are scary. They're going to have to stop Saquon Barkley.
That's going to be tough.
The last few games, he breaks in every single game. He breaks one for 60 or 70 yards lately. So yeah, the Chiefs have got to stop that.
Well, it should be a good game to watch. And Gary, thanks again for joining us and educating us more on the LRC. And again, if you want to learn more about the LRC, weather2020.com, and you could step through that on Gary's website. So I want to we have time for a quick break before we come back. So yeah, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll give you a final look on our forecast. It looks like the National Weather Service has just issued more winter weather advisories for our area. I'll give you the details right after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We've got about a minute left here. We're going to recap the weather real quick. Winter weather advisories have just been issued from just west of Lisbon up through Jamestown and up to the Canadian border. And there's also winter weather advisories to our east in Minnesota. More than likely, the National Weather Service will fill in that gap, and winter weather advisories will likely be issued for much of the valley, as we've got snow that continues to increase in coverage out to our west. It should enter the FM area here after 4 o'clock and increase as we head throughout the evening rush. So if you're going to be out and about later tonight, expect slick travel, a lot of wind, and we could really have some visibility and travel issues tomorrow morning. So prepare for your morning commute. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.